Hello there, and welcome to the Comic Book Tesseract, the weekly comics netcast that's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. I'm Justin Chalupka, alongside Jason Poliev. Every week, we review and preview the world of comics, along with other facets of geek chic culture. And let me just say, there has just been a confluence of geek holiday. Or not even so much geek holiday, just holidays in general. This is like the week of getting nothing done. Way back early in the week, we had May 1st, which is May Day. So for all of the non-American countries out there that do sort of the more paganish holidays, evidently from what I've heard, that's a day of heavy drinking and lots of frivolity. So by all means,
yay for heavy drinking.
Yeah, hurry for heavy drinking. And today is Cinco de Mayo, another good day known for heavy drinking, at least in America, which is funny because it's
because of our neighbors in the South, because it's Mexican Independence Day.
Yeah, and Mexico doesn't celebrate at all, from what I've heard, which I think is just absolutely
We're just using it as an excuse to drink. St. Patrick's Day isn't celebrated in Ireland. It's an excuse for Americans to get drunk.
Right. And then for us, we have, not only was today Cinco de Mayo, but also Free Comic Book Day, which in itself is just geek holiday. Yeah. And the day before was Star Wars Day.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you too. Even though it's not May the 4th anymore.
And may the 4th be with all of you out there as well.
Absolutely. But we'll get in more about Free Comic Book Day a little bit later in the show. We'll revisit that on the end. We're going to go ahead and talk about the comics for this week. This is actually a pretty good week. There's a few, more than a few actually, new things coming to market, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, well, we had the relaunch of DC's 52 with their second wave. Mm-hmm. So we had a couple of books from that we're going to talk about. We also got Valiant returning to the comic scene,
which is very exciting.
Yeah, well, you know, they're a company that went into bankruptcy, you know, lost their properties, were tied up in court with legal proceedings, bought by who knows who, when.
Right. Throughout the process, there's
been talk of movies. There's been some video games that have come out based on their characters. Mm-hmm. But finally, through all of this in the past couple of years, they've been bought by a company that wants to produce them back as the comic books. They'll probably still be looking towards movies and games, but we're getting comic books from them. They're going to start building that line back up.
Well, it's interesting because I don't think we've really seen, and refresh me if I'm wrong here, any movies come out of Hollywood that have been from anything other than the big two. I don't think we've had anything that's come out from Image, nothing that's come out from Dynamite or Boom or Aspen or any of those.
Spawn was the only one that I can think of that came out that wasn't Marvel or DC, Marvel or DC / Vertigo.
And that because came out at the height of the boom too.
Yeah. And there were a couple of Vertigo books, but Vertigo is a subtitle of DC.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Swamp Thing at the time that it came out was still DC. I don't think it had moved over to Vertigo at that time, but
From Hell, Watchmen is DC, but From Hell was based on a Vertigo graphic novel.
Yeah.
V for Vendetta. Yeah. Was also
okay. All right.
So there have been several that several that are not straight classic DC, you know, but we're under the
Warner Brothers license as well, so they could do stuff like that. But anyways, coming back to this with Valiant returning, I'm wondering if we're going to see a resurgence of some of those older publishers as well. We've already seen CrossGen coming back through Marvel.
Well, Marvel's put that on indefinite suspension. Hopefully we'll see them come back. I really enjoyed the runs that they did. They did some 4-issue runs of a couple of their titles. They were great. I want to see more of that. Yeah.
Is there any CrossGen stuff that they did that you didn't particularly care for?
Of the new stuff?
I think you said the Sherlock one. It wasn't
quite my flavor. I still enjoyed it. And if that's what I'm going to get, I'll be happy to take that for my cross-gen fix.
I can't remember what that one was called. I would say Muse. I don't know that's not it.
Yeah.
Something like that, though.
But the cross-gen that they've put out have not been the cross-gen titles that I was reading when I was reading cross-gen. I was reading Negation. I was reading Sojourn, The Path, Way of the Rat, and Brath, which had just started right before everything went to hell.
Yeah.
They were given a deal that probably would have saved the company to make a movie. And they turned it down because they wanted a larger deal to do movies for all of them.
Was Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, was that cross-gen?
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was cross-gen.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
That was one, I believe it was a 4-issue mini that the last issue never got printed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was a lot of cross-gen that I was reading that I really enjoyed. And a lot of it that, because they were trying to create wrap-ups for it to end it, became really bad at the end, and I'd love to have given them a chance.
Well,
they got rushed, they had new creative teams thrown on them to finish them, and everything just, you know, was a tumbling snowball, so unfortunately they weren't able to save themselves, and they didn't take the deal of, make the one movie, you can always come back and make, and, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the guy that was in charge felt that he could do the stuff that he did in the tech business, which was back away from the table at the last second, and nobody was going to play his games like that in the comic industry or in the movie with Hollywood in the movies.
Right.
And, you know, he got away with it in tech, didn't work so well in comics.
No,
and movies. So, all right. But moving on to actual stuff that's going on now.
Right. As opposed to wallowing in the past, as we occasionally love to do.
We'll go ahead and come up with the, you know, something that's latest and greatest for DC, which is part of their relaunch, the new wave of the 52.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to discuss Earth 2 and World's Finest. Now, we
Actually, you know what? I'm going to slip Action on there as well, because that kind of falls into the same theme of what these two books are doing. This is the introduction, or the reintroduction, I should say, of DC's multiverse. The concept that is their world where you have not just our Earth, but you have all 52. Of these 52 other distinct realities of Earth where these other things are happening. Since the 52 relaunch, it's been pretty much mum. There hasn't been a whole lot of discussion on the characters that we knew that came from these other Earths.
Like, editorial has said the 52 universes is still going to be a constant. Instead of an infinite number of universes,
right,
they narrowed it down to 52 pre-Flashpoint, mm-hmm, and now post-Flashpoint with the launch of the new 52. They're keeping that 52. They like that number.
Which just kind of hurts my head, but
it came from when they did their weekly...
Yeah, the 52 weeks. Yeah,
Their weekly comics, you know, real-time, mm-hmm, you know, essentially a real-time comic of this is what happened this week in the comic.
Well, so, and in the DCU for that matter, because they actually did a full year's worth of story. But anyways, we actually did a little experiment with these, with Earth 2 and World's Finest. I'll get to Action in a minute. Where you read Earth 2 first and then World's Finest. I read World's Finest and then Earth 2.
And we're going to see how our perceptions of these books changed by reading them in that order.
Okay. So, I would say let's go with chronology, because on the two of these, from what I got out of them, it seems like Earth 2 happened first chronologically.
Right. And that's...
Since you read that one first, what was your opinion on Earth 2?
I loved it. I took this, you know, I'd heard a lot of stuff going in of people talking about things that they were worried about DC doing. They were, you know, there was talk, you know, that all the Amazons were going to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people are saying, we don't want to see a Wonder Woman where all the Amazons are dead. We don't want to see Superman where Lois Lane is already dead. We don't want to see Superman like that.
Good, because you're not.
And then they took that concept. You did see it in that first issue. And then they completely took that first issue. They said, here's what happened here. Now throw this issue out, because the real first issue is going to be issue number 2. This was just a setup to build that world and to set it up to show you how different it was. There was a little bit at the very tail end that introduced
you. I wouldn't say it's a throwaway. I wouldn't say that.
It's definitely worth keeping, and I'll and rereading. I'm probably going to try and squeeze it back in here. It's absolutely worth reading. But what they're saying is the history of that Earth as it relates to this Earth ends here. This is a finite, definite split point, and it's going forward as its own world. And they did that with a loud exclamation point.
Yeah. Now, whether they'll cross them back up later, I still think is a wide open possibility. And we saw a little bit of that with the New 52 issue that was in Free Comic Book Day today, which is actually the story of Pandora, the woman in the red cloak that was around during the entire whole Flashpoint and 52 reboot.
Yeah, she appears at the end of the Flashpoint series.
Also at the end of Justice League number 7, I think? There's a short with her and the Phantom Stranger.
Yeah, she does appear in the Justice League, and she also is, you know, appearing in all of the 52 first issues. She's somewhere in each one. If you want to take
the time in the background, not actually as a character, it's more of like, you know, find the alien in South Park.
Where's Waldo?
Thing. Yeah. So, but anyways, so the possibility is still there for them to cross back. We actually see in that Zero issue, she's observing the Earth 2 comic
book. They've said they're not going back, and they weren't giving themselves a trap door. Guess what? She's the trap door.
Yeah, she has the trap door. But we don't see where that's going yet. And we know that there's still more to develop on it. So, don't have to worry too much about them completely shooting themselves in the foot. If that's what this turns out to be, I don't think it is. I don't think they're using it as a trap door.
It doesn't mean that they couldn't in the future ever use it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got something big planned, and
she's sort of out there more as like the oh shit handle. Like if things are really going down the crapper, they can just grab that, oh shit, pull it and
not
dump
entirely
out.
Because the book that they put out for this free comic book day, which I actually still get to read.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine. That book is designed to be laying the groundwork for the big event that they're going to be building towards and and running next summer. So this is going towards that whole big, we're not doing crossovers anymore. Yeah, they're about to start. They're aiming for it right now.
Well, Marvel's book, or one of Marvel's book at least, for Rise of the Ultron is their next big crossover right after Avengers versus X-Men. So yeah. Both sides are doing it. Because they know that's where the money is. Yeah. I mean, it'd be stupid for them not to.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Marvel just keeps rolling a big event after a big event after a big event. They roll one big event into the next.
Oh, they overlap. For crying out loud. I mean, you have...
There's still fear...
And then, there's still the Fearless going on. They haven't even finished their other event. It's still going, technically. Yeah. And they have another one that's sitting right on top of it.
Well, like Sanction, which was leading into the Avengers versus X-Men was, you know...
Look at Civil War, Secret Invasion, I think happened in between those two somehow.
Yeah, they've been rolling one... You might as well subscribe to it as if it's a comic. It's not an event anymore. It's an ongoing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's get back to DC with these two.
We're way off topic.
With reading that, it flowed miraculously, smoothly, directly into the world's finest title.
I wouldn't say necessarily miraculously smoothly, but there's a very distinct point in Earth 2 where it's these two characters all of a sudden kind of disappear. And they reappear in World's Finest right at the very beginning.
Yes.
The two characters are Power Girl and Huntress. Power Girl is Kara Jor-El, yes?
Yeah, Superman's cousin on Earth 2.
Right.
And Huntress is...
the daughter of Bruce Wayne and I want to say Selina Kyle. I'm not entirely sure about that. It wasn't even brought up in this. Yeah.
Traditionally, it's been Catwoman that has been the mother.
Yeah.
Of Helena Wayne.
Well, so these two are part of this battle that's occurring on Earth 2. Something happens, they go through a portal, and they pop up on, I guess what we're calling Earth Prime now.
Yes.
The main world. And,
they show up 5 years, so it would be the same time that the Action Comics number one, Detective Comics number one, take place before they jump back to the current continuity.
And really the only thing that gives us a clue of what that time frame is Kara holds up a newspaper of a very young, the Action Comic young Superman.
Well,
in the t-shirt.
They do a 5-year jump in the World's Finest. They do that five years later.
Yeah.
So you know that they're now appearing as Power Girl and Huntress 5 years later. And you're right.
That 5 years later would be at the start of the Justice League, right?
Actually, Justice League started in between that in the middle of that 5 year period. And it starts where the rest of the DC universe, you know, Batman, the title, the Superman title, all pick up there.
Mm-hmm.
At that 5 years ago is when we had Action Comics number one,
Detective
World's
number
Finest
one.
Arrive, Detective mm-hmm. Comics number one. 3 years or so is right around when Justice League was formed.
And then five is everything else.
And then you're back at current continuity.
Okay. Woof.
Yeah.
Get out your charts, people, because by all means, you should be playing the home game.
DC needs an updatable, Wiki page or timeline on their site.
No, what we need is a drinking game. We need a drinking game of like writing down DC timeline, and every time we screw it up on the show, everybody that listens to this has to drink. By all means, get your friends to play with you, everybody. Get more people to listen to the show. You will all have a good time because I guarantee with the way they're fucking up this timeline, we will screw it up royally, and you will be having a very entertaining evening.
The question is how will they know we're screwing it up if DC doesn't really know what it is?
Make out your chart. We're not going to make out a chart because, you know, we're just kind of loosey-goosey like that. But
I've thought about doing something like that. I actually thought of, you know, putting, yeah, Marvel released a
chart. You do that,
chart.
It's going to end up becoming like the crazy man wall
not,
in your
not
house.
Not for the timeline. Marvel actually released a preview for the Avengers versus X-Men where they tried to give roles to each character, like,
The
Hulk was a tank.
The tank.
And going through there and just reassigning every single one of those roles to what they would actually be in a combat situation. Yeah. And yes, Hulk would be a heavy tank.
Punching bag. Gimp. Yeah. Cannon fodder.
And there were a couple of them where we're kind of going, those aren't even roles. Marvel really didn't think that through.
Yeah, PR relations. Yeah, because that's going to do a lot in combat.
Well, you do need a PR relations. And actually, they do have a lot. I mean, think about how many times we were dropping leaflets on the Viet Cong.
That's psychological warfare. That's different. I'm thinking like PR manager, like the guy walking out to the other guy's front line going, hi, would you like to buy a vacuum? You know, it just doesn't really work right.
Yeah, he's a con artist.
Well, let's all right, back to World's Finest again. So they're in the world, they're doing their thing, and really they've matched them up pretty well with what the preconceived notions for these characters are. The only real big difference being something that's missing.
Yeah, the big boob window.
Something that's not missing, I should say.
The boob window on Power Girl's costume, which they have ditched in the, at least as of now, they've ditched that in the continuity.
Instead, they've given her a power boob. Yes. Yeah, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, just one.
Just one. One power boob with a great big P on it.
Yes. Yeah. The left one's nicer. It's all good. Actually, there is something else that goes on at the beginning of this book, which for the people that read the Huntress miniseries, this qualifies to say when that took place. That took place in that 5-year gap. And at the beginning of this book, you see Helena Wayne burning the Helena Bertinelli passport.
Oh, right.
And basically killing off that character as an ID that she was using.
Right.
So, yeah, for those of you that liked Helena Bertinelli and, you know, wanted to see her as the Huntress.
Sorry, gone.
Yep. And this kind of ties those two characters together as this is one of the identities that she used as she was growing up.
Yep.
In maneuvering through this world for the past 5 years.
So, by the looks of it, it's, we have, I guess Power Girl is going as Karen Starr.
Yep. She's going as Karen Starr.
And I don't know what Huntress is doing for her name. I don't think it mentioned it.
I don't know if that they're keeping her as Helena when they just have her going as Huntress. Now, let's actually flip the tables because for me, it went really smoothly reading Earth 2 and then coming right into World's Finest.
Okay.
Because it was chronological. And when I picked up the two books, I was looking at them going, something tells me that this is the book that's going to be chronologically first and I need to read it. I didn't know for sure.
Well, because Earth 2 is like the world book and World's Finest is just these two players in the world.
So when I picked them up, that was the way I looked at it and go, you know what? Something tells me DC should have put a little tag on there. Go ahead and read this one first. But let's see I want to know what your impression was having read World's Finest. Did it confuse you at all?
Not really, because the way they played it out, they switched up the chronology in that book in such a way that it really lets you know, hey, there's something else here that you're not seeing. So, I mean, it gets through and it does show a quick little flashback of them on Earth 2 and coming through the portal to the current continuity. So you know that's out there. You know there was something else that was happening going on before they got here. And that's all they tell you. And that's all they really need to tell you for this book to continue. Because whatever was going on in that world really doesn't matter anymore because that's not where they are. They're trying to get back to it, or at least attempting to.
Yep.
So it's interesting. I think it will be interesting to continue reading these side by side to see if all the things that are going to be developing and happening on Earth 2 that the two of them don't and won't know about, if in the odd chance they do find the opportunity or ability to go back.
And actually, that's one of the themes
of... And to see that, like, the kind of culture shock that'll hit them of, this is not the world that we left. Well, because it's really not.
No, it's definitely not. But actually, one of the themes that they have running through World's Finest is they want to get back to their world. And maybe they will eventually actually get there, realize this isn't the world that we left, and head straight back.
Yeah, we like the other one better.
Yeah. Actually, the other thing that happens that makes it, the Earth 2 interesting is from what we're shown, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are the only heroes at that time. Which, I don't recall them mentioning a Flash or Green Lantern.
No, that's true.
I don't, there was no Cyborg, or at least Cyborg hadn't survived long enough to be in that position in that book. True. Which makes me wonder.
There was Power Girl and Huntress.
Yeah, they did have a couple of others.
Yeah, so it's not to say that the world was devoid of heroes. I think those three were the big three, just as they are in the current continuity.
Well,
I think what we're looking at is,
this is going to be a bit of a spoiler for those of you who don't want to hear go la 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 for now. Yeah, but in Earth 2, mm-hmm. just those three aren't strong enough to stop Darkseid from coming across.
Right.
Or nearly aren't strong enough, and that their Earth is nearly destroyed.
And actually, it's not even Darkseid per se, it's... I want to say Siegfried, and that's not it. Give me a second.
Roy?
No, it's not Roy either. Yeah. Kind of like, he looked kind of like Roy, I suppose. Kind of a gimpy looking. Actually, I think it was Magog. No, it's not Siegfried. It's something else.
Hey, you've got my copy if you want.
Yeah, I know, and I don't have it with me.
Either way, yeah, the point is that, yeah, they're fighting Daemonites, and they're pretty much losing. It's a last-ditch effort to save the world.
Yeah.
And, whereas the Prime Universe had the Justice League. They had the full team and was able to defeat them. And I wonder if DC purposely planned that out to say, hey, look, yes, this is the Trinity, but they can't do it all on their own. This is just how important the Justice League is.
Yeah.
Which is why Earth 2, of course, you're going to get the Justice Society. That's how they're going to bring those characters in. We've already started to see the birth. They didn't show Alan as the Green Lantern, but they introduced Alan as a character.
They introduced Jay Garrick.
Right. And
a young Jay Garrick which I found very interesting.
Yeah, they've actually completely de-aged the Justice Society. They're all young characters as opposed to old characters. And, you know, Garrick actually, at the end of the book, you see him meeting Mercury.
Right.
Who, of course...
Which that was very interesting that the gods had a sort of direct confrontation in Earth 2 with Darkseid and Darkseid's forces. That they were an actual acting... force in this conflict.
Yeah. And now they've stepped back because, you know, Mercury is, yeah, at the end of this book, he's dying and he meets Jay Garrick. And of course, he's got the traditional messenger hat that you see Garrick wearing, the, you know, wing boots. So you can see where that is kind of going for, you know, Garrick. And in the next issue, they've said that over the next couple of issues, they're going to be introducing 1 to 2 new Justice Society members throughout the next couple of issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does kind of show how that world, I think that was the most important thing of Earth 2 is how it completely diverged from the Prime Universe and with the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it also sets them up to be able to do some really cool crossovers, Earth 1, Earth 2 crossovers with Justice League, Justice Society, as well as keeping them on their own paths and entirely different worlds, which It hasn't been done for a while, but it also eliminates the whole, you know, Superman with gray hair that Earth 2 had.
Right.
And completely changes up their continuity like they would have had for, that led to Crisis on Infinite Earth / Infinite Crisis and all the, pretty much any of the other crises except for potentially Identity Crisis. It really, cuts out
what
all of
the next big event. That's right. It's
the Trinity War.
Trinity War. Thank you.
Which it's kind of interesting because you're dealing with you know Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman based on that name. Now, to be fair,
it's not. I did read it, and that's not. The Trinity
I know that
with.
There's another Trinity that they introduce in Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
I know our shop ordered a lot of them. Your shop may have too. So even if you didn't make it out there today, you might find your shop able to give you a copy.
If you're a fan of the DCU and what's going on with the overall 52 relaunch, it is, I would almost say essential to go and read that book. It gives you so much background on what's going to be going on. And it gives you a very interesting and neat, quick little insight of some of the more mysterious players in the DCU that have never really been talked much about.
Yeah, some of the shadowy figures in the background. And of course, the new Pandora, that's joining that.
Some of the more phantom-ish guys. Yeah, or ones that you might have questions about.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, that was really bad. Well, before we move on to that, because you were mentioning crossovers between Earth 1 and Earth 2, will they make a crossover into Earth 23?
They very well made. Earth 23 is actually the Earth that they reveal in Action Comics this week.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this book. I liked seeing the idea of a different version of Kal-El and a different person, you know, being raised in Harlem and actually growing up and being Superman. Mm-hmm. I particularly thought it rather interesting to see the backstory at the end of this book, as aside from just the main arc that was told. Where they start to question, you know, being an alien, he wasn't born in America, therefore legally he can't be president. According to the government, to U.S. rules, you have to be born in the United States to be president. You can't be a naturalized citizen. You have to be born here.
Yeah.
So that's why Arnold Schwarzenegger can't be our president. That's why
they're looking to get that changed.
It's going to take an act of Congress to do so.
Yeah, and they might. If they think it's within, if they think it's worthwhile to do
so. They have to change the Constitution. But yes. Getting away from constitutional law, it was interesting to see this take on Superman. I'm wondering where it's going to go, because it looks like they're actually doing a journey through a couple of different multiverses. They actually connect to a second universe. They didn't specifically state which Earth it was that they connected to.
Right.
Where there's Clark Kent, Lois Lane, and Jimmy Olsen. Clark Kent is not Superman on that world. And they come through a tube that brings a thought process that, a physical thought of what they wanted to be Superman. That when you started adding in so many other people's ideas of that became corrupted, because we all don't have the same ideal of what Superman is, that thought became corrupted and is now going through, and it's, you know, taking on Superman of Earth 23 at the end of this book.
Yeah.
So you weren't as enthusiastic as I was.
Because I honestly, I could not help while reading this book, thinking back to, and I'm trying to make sure I get the right Crisis.
Okay.
The Crisis on Infinite Earths, where you had the amalgamation of all these different Supermans all fighting, like the big something or other, Vampiric Monitor thingy, whatever. But anyways, I kept thinking of the...
Actually, it may have been Infinite Crisis where they had...
Was it Infinite?
They had Superman versus Superman, Superboy, and Superman from Earth 2 fighting Superman Prime.
No.
No?
Okay. I'm thinking of, it's like, there was this big stone Superman or something, and they were fighting this vampiric monitor, but the only way they could activate it was to get like all of the Supermans from all of the different infinite universes to all kind of be there at the same time.
That was leading into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways. The main thing is, one of the Supermen in that particular one is a Superman that doesn't have an S. He's got a big fist, I think, on his chest, and an afro that goes out a good foot and a half, 2 feet off the top of his head. I'm sorry, I could not read this comic without having that as, like, Black Dynamite in the back of my head the entire time. And it really kind of put a...
I'm gonna get you, sucker.
Kind of. You know, it shouldn't have. It really, really shouldn't have, but this felt like a blaxploitation to me.
It didn't feel like that to me. This felt like they've done different types of Superman stories, and actually, they're supposedly, and I don't know if they're keeping it for the New 52, but, Red Son, the Elseworlds novel where Superman lands in Russia and becomes Russia's favorite son and takes over the world. That is a Superman that has been part of the 52 universes before.
Right.
They haven't said that that specifically is taking place in the current 52 universes. So they do have a lot of different things. I thought it was an interesting take, and I don't know if DC did it to try and, you know, raise some eyebrows of, oh, now we can have a black Superman.
Right.
If they were trying to cross racial boundaries on purpose, or if it was that
it
they felt that
me
this
like
was
they were trying to make a cover to just kind of raise people's, not their ire, but to get people going, oh, look what they're doing here. They're putting Obama on the cover. Because that's basically what it really kind of looked like.
He does look a lot like Obama. And Marvel got a lot of talk of, you know, some of it good, some of it bad for turning Ultimate Spider-Man into Miles Morales, a black Hispanic kid.
Well, even they caught flack name from that, but there was, an issue they did of Spider-Man and the president, actual Spider-Man and Obama fighting crime or something and shaking hands at the end. And I know the more conservative Republicans kind of got up in arms of, oh, look, they're making political book. Which, honestly, this felt like maybe they were kind of going for that same type of fodder. Like, they were almost looking to try to get that type of press on this book.
But they did keep it fairly separate. Aside from a little bit of a look towards Obama,
they kept it politically neutral.
Yeah.
I'll give them that. But, even so, it's just... something about it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Really what they've done is they've taken the fairly consistent traditional Superman values and put them on a kid from Harlem.
Which is the transposition
that they've done.
Which I'm okay with. I really am okay with that. But
again, for me...
Something about the way they... maybe it was something in the delivery. I don't know.
Maybe it was just the fact that they were exploring new territory for Superman a bit with this. And again, even at the end, particularly with the secondary backup story, where they started going, you know, not only shouldn't you be president, you're lying to them about that. They don't know you're Superman. So you're lying to the people about that. And if Superman goes and does something and it found out that it's the president, there's a whole political backlash. So it starts to bring up a lot of the ethical questions. And I love when they can start doing those type of things in a book. Hopefully they're going to continue with that type of backstory in the next couple of issues. I don't know how long they're going to be sticking with Earth 23.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And yeah, who knows? They may even go to an entirely different Earth and start showing a couple of them as,
which if they do that, that'd be kind of cool. That I would like to see. Like if they're actually going and going to say like, okay, here's Superman here. He's Superman here. He's Superman here. He's here. Superman here.
And then they can do a big wrap up where it involves all of them. That might be kind of neat. And maybe they're going to do that. They might not do it as quite as jumpy. They may follow Superman 23 for a couple of issues and break into the next world that they're going to go to, the next Earth. So. I enjoyed it. You weren't as quite as enthused with it.
I don't think I'm going to get action. I'm actually not just for this book. I was kind of starting to flag on action already, but then this book kind of put the nail in the coffin of just, I don't want to follow action anymore.
And it pushed me the opposite way because I was also going to drop action.
And then this is hooking you back in.
Yeah, this is making me want to keep it. So we'll have to see.
Different strokes, different folks.
Yeah. Something that I did enjoy reading this week and is the return of Valiant Comics with Exo Man of War.
Yeah, this is the number one issue, and they said they're gonna bring back two or three other titles from the Valiant universe.
Valiant will be releasing a new
Bloodshot,
title.
I think it was one.
Yeah, for the next four months, I believe, they're gonna be releasing a new title. Harbinger is gonna be the next one, right. Bloodshot, and then Archer and Armstrong. If your comic shop still has the Valiant Free Comic Book Day edition, pick it up. It has summaries of what each one of those story arcs is about.
Or, if nothing else, if your comic shop has back issues, as pretty much every single comic shop does, especially from the mid to late 90s, go look at some of the Valiant books. I mean, even if you're doing nothing more than just flipping through the boxes, looking at covers, just kind of give you an idea of what the Valiant universe was like, what it had out there, and what's available, to kind of wet your whistle for what's going to be coming. Yeah. Because that at least will kind of open your eyes, and so when you see it hitting the shelves, it may get you more motivated to really check these books out. Because from what we saw on this, it seems like they're going to be worthwhile.
Yeah, this was a relaunch. It was fairly consistent with my understanding of the backstory for Exo Man of War in the original run. So this, to old fans, this may be a rehash, but it also allows them to bring in the new people. Mm-hmm. And since you haven't been able to read a Valiant comic in so long, you're probably going,
not bad having a little refresher.
I'll enjoy their little refresher. I'll enjoy seeing the differences in the story, in how the stories come together. Mm-hmm. If you just read the Free Comic Book Day, some of this art will be familiar because a lot of it is the same, but read it straight through because there are a couple of panels that I think were different and there are some insertions of entire pages in the middle of that arc. It actually starts even before what was presented in the Free Comic Book Day version.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that they're giving you here, and it actually goes a bit further into the origin than I ever thought it would quite get to. I
was actually thinking they would get further than what they did. I was expecting a little bit longer of a time frame before, in this book specifically. I figured they'd at least get it to him being Exo Man of War, and we haven't even gotten there yet.
No, but they do show where that comes from.
Yes.
But looking at it, I was actually, wondering just how far they were going to be able to take it in an issue, knowing that he traverses through some different times and he is, starts off, he is a Visigoth and fighting the Roman Empire. So you're going from there to, alien technology to a future, to a thousand years later, future Earth.
Right.
And of course they're still in space right now. So it'll be interesting to see, and I believe it'll probably be a fairly modern Earth that they bring it back to. We'll have to wait and see. I read the Free Comic Book Day, material for this and it got me psyched for the other books that are coming out from Valiant. I didn't read Valiant, back when they had their first run.
I read a few. Exo wasn't one of the ones that I read, but now kind of looking through this, I'm wondering if I should have. Of course, I was also, working on an allowance and can only buy a few books every couple weeks. So with the grand amount of comics that were around during that time, this probably wouldn't have ended up very high on my list anyways, but oh well. I was more of a Ninjak kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so yeah, I'm picking this up. It got me hooked that I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Archer and Armstrong sounds like it's going to be a really fun book.
The reason I mentioned going through and looking at back issues, I was actually sitting at the comic shop talking to somebody, and I looked over my shoulder at the boxes, and I saw a Valiant logo, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what that is. And it was Archer and Armstrong. It was the whole box one because it was the A box. And I just kind of flipped through a little bit, and I'm like, well, these guys look kind of interesting. It almost kind of makes me think of Sam and Max, but the two cops from Spawn. Something in Twitch. Sam and Twitch, I think.
If I'm remembering correctly what I read as the summary, you've got the smart-ass kid who is really good with a bow, mm-hmm. and a drunken demigod.
Yeah, there you go.
So he's, you know, drunken. He's got something that they're after. He just doesn't remember where he put it because he's been drunk for the past 1,000 years.
Yeah, this is basically a Thor and Hawkeye crossover. But as an ongoing.
Yeah.
Hey, Marvel, get your shit together.
No, Hawkeye's busy crossing over with Cap right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, Cap is definitely much older than Hawkeye. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But not as drunken.
Yeah, he's definitely not the drunkard, so. All right.
That'd be kind of funny, though. Can you imagine, like, a drunk Cap just out doing his thing? Let's see what I can do with my shield. Bong clank, right in the head.
Actually, if I recall, Cap has a hard time getting drunk because of that super soldier serum.
Oh, that's right. They mentioned that in the movie, didn't they?
Yeah, in the movie, and I think it's been in the comics as well.
So. Poor Cap.
Yes. Actually, speaking of movies, if you haven't seen it, you need to see Avengers, and not just see it in the theater. Mm-hmm. It is a movie that needs to be seen on that big screen. Not just deserves to be, it needs to be.
Hmm.
I'm not going to give you a full review other than it's good. Go see it. maybe when we talk, we'll go ahead and talk about it later.
When we say go see it, go see all of it. Yes. Even the credits all the way through.
There are two tags. There are two tags that they put into the credits. So you're going to see, at least the theater I went to, you saw the short credits and then they had a scene and then there was the rest of the credits and then there was another scene. And
so what he's basically saying is stick around. You're going to be stuck to your seat anyways from all the crap on the floor, so you might as well enjoy yourself while you're there.
Yeah, spend the time trying to get the, you know, sugar from the Coke that's holding your feet to the ground unstuck from your shoe while you're waiting for that. All right. as we mentioned a couple of times this show, it is Free Comic Book Day.
Yay!
And
I like free comics.
Yeah, we got lots of free comics that were looking through.
And this year was really a good year for Free Comic Book Day. In past years, we've seen some that just were kind of lackluster.
Sometimes everything you pick up is a reprint and you're going,
yeah. Well, everything was a reprint. Probably a couple years ago. The only thing that came out that was really, really good, I think, was like a Blackest Night Zero issue. Yeah. Or a Brightest Day Zero issue or something like that. Like, that was the only thing that was really worth picking up.
Yeah. Whereas this
year, oh man, you couldn't keep stuff on the counter. It was just flying off left and right.
Well, we already talked about the New 52, which is going to have an impact on the rest of the DC universe and leading into their big crossover event. The Marvel, you know, Avengers
Marvel
Age
had
of Ultron.
A whole bunch of books. Whereas DC really only had...
The DC had the one
had
book.
The 52, and that was it. Marvel had two Avengers books, two Spider-Man books. They had a,
And Spider-Man season one, and then they had a Spider-Man, which was based off of the animated cartoon.
From XD, right?
Yeah. Actually, no, that's not quite true, because DC also had the, book that talked about the comic companions to the Green Lantern animated series, Young Justice series.
Yes.
And on the flip was from the creators of Tiny Titans, the Superman family.
Yes. Okay.
Superman Family Adventures. So, but DC, there was the adult title and then the kids title.
Which kind of makes sense. I mean, that's a good way for them to play it.
Yeah.
Another one that I know if you got to your comic book shop anything later than exactly when they opened, you probably missed Mouse Guard. This is the only hardcover book that was put out. I think this is the only hardcover book that's ever been put out on a free comic book day.
Yeah, it's a free hardcover.
It's a free hardcover. I mean, honestly.
And
awesome.
It's definitely gets the pick of the show. And even though it's called Mouse Guard, there's actually, I think, 5 stories in there. It's got a Labyrinth story. It's got
Mouse Guard,
Dapperman, which is leading into the Time of the Dapperman, which is the sequel to Return of the Dapperman. Which was critically acclaimed. Justin, you've read it. I'm waiting for you to get your copy back so I can read it.
Right.
And there's
then we have another one called Rust. There's Ramblings from an Old Sea Dog.
Yeah, Rust was a good story. I really enjoyed reading Rust.
And Cowboy, which is in a, I don't want to say Calvin, like a Watterson-esque, but pretty sticking close.
Very similar.
As far as art style.
And it's a boy who is out to take revenge on his family for having treated him bad growing up. And he's still just the size of an 8-year-old boy. So there's a comic element. I enjoyed Cowboy and Rust were both two that I was going, I need to really check these out.
Mm-hmm.
Dapperman, of course, is already on my list from.
Right.
And, you know.
And as well, it should be.
And Mouse Guard, I know you've been reading.
Mouse Guard, yes.
I enjoyed that story as well.
Mouse Guard, I know the one in here is separate from the actual Mouse Guard story. So it's not like you need this to pick those up. But it's a good companion tale. One of the things that Mouse Guard does very, very well, and they've done it a few times, they have their main lines, which are the year books. It's like winter 1152, summer 1153, something like that. But then they also have Tales of the Black Axe or Tales of the Guard, which are these kind of standalone stories that better flush out the world.
I
really can't say anything other than it's great. Go pick them up.
With this book, I was looking through it and going, everything in here, except for possibly Dapperman, which is just too high of a material,
mm-hmm.
Could be read by or to children.
Depending upon age, yeah. I mean, I would say go with kids that are probably 7+.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go under 7 for these.
But most of the stories in that book were definitely okay for kids. I mean, even Dapperman, the material was good. I just don't think the conceptual that's presented through that material.
Which I'm willing to tell you that the Dapperman book, the actual book itself, is the same. Is the exact same way. It's very kid-looking material, but it is not necessarily kid-friendly as far as concepts and ideas.
Yeah, it's written above. Yeah, but there was a lot of stuff out there that was aimed at kids. We already talked about DC, the Superman Adventures from the people that did Tiny Titans,
which
I know you used to get for your daughter. She enjoyed those.
Yep.
You were kind of upset.
Mega Man.
You were kind of upset. Yep. Mega Man came out. Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog was another one.
Yeah. Both from Archie Comics.
Which
there was a flip issue of SpongeBob. Yes.
The Simpsons was the other
Simpsons,
side.
Simpsons, from Bongo. Another one, and this one we mentioned.
And that one also actually had one of my books that I really enjoyed, which is the Sergio Argonauts, also had a story in that one as well.
Right.
It was a reprint from one of the earlier stories. So.
Okay. Another flip book was The Peanuts, which was also Adventure Time. And oddly, I don't think it was odd because it kind of makes sense to me, but for it being kid-aimed, there was not a lot of kids that were actually picking up the Adventure Time book. As a matter of fact, I had one kid tell me outright he's not allowed to watch that show.
I had somebody say that he doesn't want to let his kids read SpongeBob.
Yeah, for the same reasons.
Yeah, which the other side of that book would have probably been fine, but SpongeBob not allowed.
Yeah, and I think those two books are ones that didn't quite get it right because of that. They were kind of hedging up their older kid and younger kid material, which I think eliminated the younger audience from picking up that book.
It certainly is possible, because a lot of these, the parents are going to take it, they might read it with the kids, but then they want to be able to leave the book so the kid can flip through and look at the pictures.
Right.
And if you don't want your kid watching SpongeBob, you can't leave that with them. If you don't want your kid to see Adventure Time, you can't leave it with them.
And I'll be honest, your kid shouldn't be watching Adventure Time anyways. That thing's trippy.
Yeah, well, the thing with Peanuts and, Adventure Time, and probably, with the, Simpsons and SpongeBob, is it's the publisher. The publisher wanted to put out one book.
Right.
So they had a choice of either putting out two books, twice the cost, and having people order only half of each, or putting out a single book that had both, or in the case of actually Simpsons and SpongeBob, there was also actually a third book in there, which was Sergio Argos.
Right.
So they were able to put three in there.
Oh, there's another one I was going to mention too. The Smurfs and Tinkerbell.
Yes. And that was actually a very good one.
That was very good and was also age appropriate.
Yeah.
There's also a middle, let me caveat that because there was the dance class one that was in there and there was another side story in there that its name escapes me. It's two names of like a girl and a germ or something.
Yeah.
But that one I know near the end actually gets into, talking about divorce and separation of her parents. So that one's kind of.
But that could also be good if you are in that situation. That might be a story that is applicable to you, or you might have friends that you're trying to explain that to your children. That book might be a way of helping get through some of that.
Which is great to know that it exists.
We've only read a short story. We don't know much about it. We haven't read the full work to know exactly, but it might be something that is worth looking into. If you're faced with either your friends know people that are, parents are getting divorced and they're curious about it, or you are going through a divorce and you want your kids to have something to help them.
But more than that, it's important that the parents that are going to pick up this book on Free Comic Book Day and read it to their kids be aware that a story like that is in it, because that's not necessarily something you want to drop on your kid. Not knowing that it's in there.
Yeah.
You know, you start reading halfway through the story and you know, the story's about how daddy has a new friend named Jimmy and how they're living in a different house. That's not what's going on in here, but as an example.
The other thing is, you know, particularly if your kid's not yet of the age that they can read themselves where you're reading to them, this book isn't that bad because you can read the Tinkerbell, you can read the dance stories.
You get to that one. You can skip it over.
You skip over it, and there's nothing in the art that makes it inappropriate.
Right.
You know, it's done in a child style. Mm-hmm. Of a girl and this germ that can kind of change shape, so she winds up looking like
imaginary friend kind of thing.
Yeah. So, if they can't read it, the confrontation won't be there.
Yeah. Moving on to that one, another one that was really good on Free Comic Book Day today was Voltron Force, which is the next generation of the Voltron storyline. Okay. Another one very good to pick up, pretty easy to read, and quite a nice book too. I mean, it's a nice long. I mean, I would say a full comic. It's smaller size.
Yeah, it's done half size as opposed to full size. It's
travel size for your convenience. But thickness-wise, I mean, that's a full comic.
And you said that, I didn't read that one. You read that one with your daughter.
Yeah, read it to her,
And you said, so that's actually the team that's taking over for the current continuity. Correct. Voltron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've got...
So you still have the current continuity Voltron Force in it, and they're teaching these three new cadets how to be...
Pilots for the Voltron Force.
Right, pilots for the Lions.
Okay, another one, which maybe for some of the older kids that are able to read on their own, starting to be on their own, you don't need to be a full adult for, was Transformers. And they are doing, they're calling it Regeneration, Regeneration 1, which is based off the original Marvel run of 80 issues. This is technically 80.5 is what they're calling it.
Yeah, this is actually good for the kids at heart as well, for the ones that were growing up reading the Transformer comic books, which I know you were.
I didn't read a whole lot of them. I read a handful of those. I mainly read the G.I. Joes. I had a friend that was big into the Transformers.
Okay. But anyway, so it's picking up, like you said, right from where they left off. So there's a nice big helping of nostalgia factor in this one as well.
Yeah. And it'll introduce you to, you know, if you've got kids that are watching the cartoons and like Transformers, this may be a way of getting them into reading the Transformers comics.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Transformers comics out there. This one just happened to focus on Regeneration 1. It did kind of talk about some of the other Transformers stories that are being printed.
Okay.
And there are a couple of new arcs that are coming out
in
Transformers. So,
One of the other things I wanted to mention with the books from today, and I mentioned this with a few other guys that were at the shop too, some of the covers were not very well designed. And I know that's kind of a nitpicky thing, but if you look at, and you're holding up right now, the Image book. This is a perfect example. There's lots of great stuff inside of this Image book, but it's very, very poor as far as the branding to understand what this book is. It's a compilation of a bunch of titles from Image. Image is celebrating its 20-year anniversary right now. So it makes sense that they have the Image logo, but they have it on the bottom, at least bottom third of the book, on the far left side as a little tiny image with the 20 emblazoned on it. So you can't even really see the Image eye that well anyways.
Well,
poor layout, poor design.
More so than their logo though, it's that the front cover and the back cover are split into thirds.
Right.
With a character in each one.
Thirds left to right, I should mention.
Yeah.
As opposed to the top bottom thirds.
You're doing a vertical column of it, which pretty much limits you to about a character. Mm-hmm. There are a couple where they're trying to squeeze other characters in and you're just seeing half panels.
Yeah.
So you, there's nothing there to really grab your eye unless you're very familiar with these characters, some of which are being relaunched. A Near Death, which is an ongoing that I've been talking about on the show before.
G-Man, which I know is pretty good for kids.
Yes. Crime and Terror, Guarding the Globe, Revival, It Girl, and the Atomics. Those are the books that it's featuring in here. They may have mentions of other stuff.
I did pick it up because I like Image and I like their stuff, and I was flipping through it, and there's really good stuff in it. But a lot of people I saw pass this book over just because they didn't realize what it was. Yeah. Another one that was kind of that way, there was the Valiant Trade that kind of did that. The Aspen Trade did that as well.
They did original art and featured individual characters in that art as a united scene.
Right.
So
I will say, actually, one thing I really love about the Aspen book isn't, it's not even so much the title, but it's the giant spread for the middle poster kind of way to do
yeah,
it. It's a nice two-page spread of Lady Mechanica.
Yeah, so you could put that up as a little pinup.
That's a straight up steampunk pinup. Yeah. I mean, no doubt about it.
And that's actually something that's really good, for, that you can get out of some of these books is some of them do come with pinups, so you can just tear them apart.
The DC one, for example.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing that. They got a double gatefold fold out poster in the middle of theirs, for the Justice League. So that's going to make a great pinup. Yeah.
So those, and there were a few others that are escaping me off the top of my mind right now, but.
Actually, another one that went extremely well at our shop, I know because there were people going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want that one? Do you want that? Was the Star Wars / Serenity.
Honestly, I feel kind of bad about that one.
Those two actually
go. I feel bad about that.
I think we gave our copy away.
Well,
somebody was waiting for me to finish reading it. By the time I finished, it was gone.
Somebody was waiting, and we said, and we did tell him, as soon we're done reading it, we'll give it to you. But he was with his family, and the family left. So after he left, we figured, all right, well, they're gone. So we'll take it, we'll put it back on the shelf. Put it back on the shelf, and immediately the next person that walked by, it was the first thing they grabbed, and they snapped it up.
Yeah.
And then later.
To be fair, he had Boba Fett tattooed on his arm.
Yeah, he did have Boba Fett tattooed on his arm. So, it's legitimate take. I'm willing to say.
Yeah.
But the kid came back and was looking for it again. And I'm like, the guy's still here. He's, the one standing over there with all the tattoos. And the kid was like, no, that's okay.
Yeah. I didn't know that the kid had come back.
Yeah. There was no way to know.
We had no way of knowing he'd come back for it.
I don't think he grabbed a card, so he's probably not listening. But anyways, sorry, kid. I mean it.
Yeah. So lots of good stuff. Now, one of the things you may have noticed we kind of focused on was some of these being age appropriate for kids. Because we had been asked, what books are out there that are for kids?
And more than just the ones that we talked about today for Free Comic Book Day, there are lots of titles out there that are completely kid friendly. Our store actually has a whole spinner rack filled with things that are only for kids. Well, not necessarily only for kids, I should say it that way, but are very age-appropriate.
Yeah, age-appropriate or family-friendly would be the way to term those books, yeah. And it's everything from takeoffs of the cartoons that are currently running, such as Green Lantern, Spider-Man.
There's an
Ultimate Spider-Man that just came out.
Yep.
Books like, we talked about the Tiny Titans, which is now ending, although I think they're going to be doing a trade of that. And moving to the Superman Adventures. Supergirl's Cosmic Adventures in the Fifth Grade is over, but I think they're doing a trade of that.
But going to some of the other things too, you also have things that your kids will just probably recognize, like Scooby-Doo, which I know my daughter loves. Sonic the Hedgehog, which we mentioned earlier. Mega Man, which I also mentioned. Other good
Darkwing
ones.
Darkwing Duck.
I haven't seen the Darkwing Duck and the DuckTales, which kind of upsets me. I don't know if those got canceled or if they just haven't been getting them in. Because they were on my list, so they should have been getting ordered, but I haven't seen them in previews either.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking the lines may have gotten canceled.
They may have canceled those, but Disney's going to come back and they're just saw with the Disney, with the fairies, Disney will be having
some. I just realized they're putting their comics in the vault. Oh, what the crap. Bastards.
There are back issues of, Scrooge McDuck, DuckTales.
And there are actually just some older collections of strips, of like Disney strips, of Mickey Mouse and Goofy and Donald and such.
Yeah.
Worth including as well is, there are things like Muppets. They have lots of Muppets, graphic novels actually, and other things that just follow the entirety of the Disney universe. Yeah. Anything from Toy Story to The Incredibles to, Up, I think they even probably had a comic of briefly. So anything that you would find in the Disney universe, you could probably find a comic form in one way or another, as long as you're willing to do a little bit of digging. So if your kid has a favorite character, by all means, go out and try to find it. It'll be there.
Yeah. And talk to the guys at your local comic shop. I know the guys at Heroes Haven are great at accommodating us
for finding
not just books that we want to read, but if you're looking for something for a specific age, they'll not only point you to where they have the books for that age group, mm-hmm. but they'll tell you about other stuff that's coming up that they know about.
Yeah.
Or that other customers are getting. Maybe they don't have anything left on the rack from that, but mm-hmm. they can go, hey, look, we got a guy who's getting this for his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and pick it up.
Well, as for instance, somebody asked today about Pokemon, because their kid's a big Pokemon fan. I said, well, I don't think they have any Pokemon books, but here's some ideas of things that are kind of like it.
Yeah.
And I don't even work at the shop, for crying out loud. And the guys at the shop have a much better knowledge of things like this. So they can, by all means, talk to them. They can give you the things you need to help with bringing your kids into comics.
And I know, because we were actually discussing it, you know, at the shop today, is there are some shops out there where the guys don't care. And if you get a shop like that, go to your comic book locator. There's a website, comic book mm-hmm. locator. There's an 800 number.
Yeah.
Usually there's an ad for it in most comic books that'll tell you, look, call this number. You'll find another and find a shop near you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Granted, there are some places that if you're kind of out, way out there, and that really is the only thing you got around you, then I would say the next thing after that would be go to the net. Go to the net, talk to people, go on Reddit, the subreddit for comic books, and ask people there, hey, what are some good kid-appropriate comics for a child in this age range?
I actually was on Slashdot the other day. Somebody asked, you know, what are some good children's comic books? I didn't get a chance to actually look through some of the results.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's Slashdot. They do technology news. They do, you know, computers. And they're asking a question about comics. So there are others.
Well, where else are the geeks going to be to answer this? I mean, honestly,
yeah.
they're going to the right forum. I mean, you don't go to Food Network and ask that question. I can guarantee you that. I'll answer you, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are places out there, of course, you know, we're here, email us, we'll try mm-hmm. and point you in the right direction. Hopefully we've covered a lot of the stuff that you can look for.
At least a lot of stuff that's currently out right now.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes, you know, even if there's not a whole lot at your local shop,
mm-hmm.
ask them for a preview. It might cost you $3.50 to buy the previews.
Which is really not much worse than a regular comic book right now.
Yeah. And yeah,
for a big, thick frame book.
It's about an inch thick of all the stuff that's going to be coming out in 3 months.
Uh-huh.
And that's a great way to look through it and go, this is stuff that if my shop's not going to order it for me, I can find somebody online. There are websites that you could order your mm-hmm. comic books through online and get brand new comics ordered online from.
You can actually order directly out of previews as long as you get the order form.
Yeah. So there are different. So even if your shop isn't as hospitable as
a comic shop, please, by all means, go frequent your local comic shop. They love the business. They love you very much.
Most of them do, and they're willing to help you because they want your business. They understand that you're their customer.
Yeah.
And the more they can talk to you and get to know what you like, the better it's going to be. Because if they can anticipate something you're going to like, they can say, hey, check this out. This is what you're going
to
enjoy.
We both can even mention how many times we've gotten to pick up our books on a Wednesday, and there's extra books in there, and we're like, oh, yeah, I didn't even know that was this week. Excellent.
Yeah, I've gone in there and they've gone, we thought you would enjoy this. And
sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong.
But
oh, yeah, some of the guys at the shop, it's funny because the different owners have different tastes and we actually kind of line up with them.
Yeah.
You with one owner, I with another guy there. And so I'll read something or it won't be in my box and I'll just turn to him and say, hey, was this in your box? Yeah. Can I borrow yours? Sure. Bring it back. Thanks.
Yeah. They'll let you borrow it because if you read it, you enjoy it, you're going to come back in and say, sign me up for the subscription.
Not to mention if it's in their box, they're not getting paid anything for it. They give it to me. I'm paying them.
Yeah.
So.
And they'll order themselves another copy.
Yeah. It behooves them to, to send me their stuff.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much covers everything.
There was one other bit of news that we were going to talk about.
A couple weeks ago, a quick follow-up.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago mentioned that the check that DC Comics used to buy Superman from Siegel and Schuster, it was a $412 check for the rights to Superman, along with the payment for them writing and drawing the work, that sold for $130 million. $130,000.
$160,000
was what they actually paid for Superman. $160,000 is what the check sold for. This was the check, the ledger entry, and the statement of receipt mm-hmm. showing that it was for the work and for the rights to Superman. $160,000 for a $412 check.
Yep.
So, just wanted to, follow that up with you guys. Yeah. So, who knows? Maybe somebody out there heard about it from us and had the winning bid.
If you did, well, honestly, good for you.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And just so you know, we do, we would like to extend this opportunity for anybody that would like to advertise on the Comic Book Tesseract and has $160,000 they want to throw our way. We will be more than willing to accept your very generous donation, and we'll basically, we're whores. That's what I'm trying to say. We're whores. We'll take your money, and we're perfectly okay with that.
So
I have no shame.
And if you're looking for a way to get a hold of us to get us that money, before they can send the money, they need to get a hold of us. And there's actually a couple of ways that they can do that. They can find all the contact information that they need at about.me/comicbooktesseract. That's our digital business card. Mm-hmm. And it's got all the contact information that you'll need to get a hold of us. You can follow us through the comicbooknerd.com. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook page, facebook.com/comicbooktesseract. You can follow us on Twitter. Justin is at Felix T. Cat. That's with a K and two T's. I'm at J. Polieff. You can go ahead and email us, comicbooktesseract@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail or send us a text message at 50Tesseract. That's 508-377-3722. Once again, you can find our Facebook page and all of our other contact information at about.me/comicbooktesseract. Mm-hmm. And go ahead and follow us on Google Plus with gplus.to/comicbooktesseract. So, yep. Justin, any last thoughts?
I don't know. Spaghetti is good.
All right. So, with that in mind, we will go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. There is one last thing I wanted to say. Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf. And speaking of musicals, I do want to give a shout out and a rest in peace to MCA of the Beastie Boys, who passed on this past week. So, thoughts and condolences out to his family and the rest of the Beastie Boys as well. And we'll go ahead. And
I almost feel bad saying this, but I thought for a second you were going to talk about Batman the Musical. No.
If you do want to find out about that, it is on our Google Plus page. gplus.to/comicbooktesseract. Actually, it's also on our Facebook page. So if you really want to see Batman the Musical.
What's wrong with you?
Well,
what's wrong with, no.
No. Really, it was nowhere near as bad as the 1970s TV shows cut up to give you the Avengers trailer that was posted. So.
Yeah, all right.
Anyways, go ahead, follow us about.me/comicbooktesseract for all the information you need to get a hold of us or to follow us. Until next week, we will see you again when we step inside the Tesseract.